looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Michelle Morgan, you listen to Living on a Prayer. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you had a great week. I did. The weekend was way too short. Way too short. And Barbie says the same about her weekend. And she looks adorable today, folks. In purple. Gorgeous girl. So, today's show. Grief and the spiritual process. Before that, a little shout out. Shout out to my kid, Kaylee, my darling daughter. She starts a brand new job today. I am so proud of this child of mine. So here's the thing. She totally stepped up and used the energy of this planetary gobbledygook that's been going on for a while, this build up to the T-square grand cross thing, all about change, taking action towards the things you want, et cetera, et cetera. And she conjured herself a new job, and she had a gig. She was a manager of one of those pottery painting places, and she was doing a great job of it. And she started to get a little, have some issues there and wanting a little bit something different, something with a little more opportunity in the future. And she just took it upon herself to set this new thing up. I'm telling you, between the time she made the first phone call to this company to when they hired her, I think it was a span of about a week. So anyway, which, you know, in this economy, everybody's attitude or the majority attitude seems to be, oh, it's so hard. There's no jobs out there. It's really difficult. But I'll tell you what, my daughter, God love her, she definitely does the prayer thing. She does the visualization thing, and she took the action, and by golly, she rocked it. So I am super proud of her. Congratulations, kiddo, and have a great first day. So I want to thank Susan for the idea for the show today. This is a very, very important and very timely subject. So I would love to hear from you today. If you've got an experience or you got some questions about grief, about being spiritual in the grieving process and anything like that, give me a call. 877-230-3062. Again, the number is 877-230-3062. Would love to hear from you. So, and again, if there's a topic you would like me to cover on the show, just, you know, send me an email, michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. You can just click on my website and hit the little button, and it'll give you a chance to whip me off an email. Would love to get some more ideas. It's been great to have listener feedback and, you know, give me some topics to talk about. Loving it, loving it. And, of course, the music on this show is always amazing because Miss Barbara is amazing. And I do post those on my Facebook fan page. So I personally am counting down the minutes till Saturn changes signs. Two stories. I've heard it's going to change on Wednesday. I've also heard it's going to change on Thursday. So I, of course, being Sagittarius, I'm going to go for Wednesday. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, take that early date. So yeah, Saturn finally out of Virgo. Permanently. Well, at least for the next however bazillions of years. But yeah, so the last 2.5 years of butt kicking is now Well, of course, you know, and then everything ratchets up for this T-square thing, but I'm not paying attention to that. I'm only paying attention to Saturn changing because Saturn and I have not been getting along very well in the last couple of years. Although I will say, Saturn, bless you. Thank you for all the lessons. Yeah. Okay. It's time. I'm out of school. I want recess at the minimum. So anyway, everybody else out there that's been doing a little Saturn dance, hang in there. It's going to change at the end of this week. Things are going to lighten up. I'm telling you. Yay, team. Barb's dancing, chair dancing. So, I heard one really great iguana story this last week. One of my dear clients, Becky, she and her, oh my gosh, she's got two of the cutest kids that have ever drawn breath, truly, Darby and Colin, my little angel babies. Anyway, they were going to the pet store. I can't remember if she said they were going to go over and look at the kittens or the puppies or something, or the fish or something. And Colin, and this was exactly at the time of my show. She was not listening to the show. This was like noon last Monday. They go to the pet store and Colin just grabs her and says, no, let's go look at the reptiles. And this was just not like him typically. So they went to look at the reptiles and apparently there was this bright green, neon green iguana. And they were like, wow, that is the cool. I've never seen an iguana like that. So there you go. There's your iguana story. Isn't that amazing? I love this stuff. So here's your critter for this week. And these critters come care of Dr. Stephen D. Farmer. Is he a doctor? Yes.
Yes, he is.
Dr. Stephen D. Farmer. Cool dude. Animal Spirit Guides is the name of the book. And he has a show on this station. Yeah. 4 p.m. Thursdays. Earth Magic Radio with Dr. Stephen Farmer. 4 p.m. on Thursdays. So take a listen, or you can, I'm sure, archive it and get it. But yeah, he's awesome. So I love this book. One of my favorites. Here it is. Penguin. Penguin, one of my favorite critters. And here's what penguin means, which I find completely fascinating considering what we're talking about today. Penguin says, you're much more powerful and durable than you think you are. You have everything you need inside you and in front of you to have a good life, so always keep that in mind. You'll soon be able to experience lucid dreaming, where you become fully aware while dreaming and can change the details of the dream. This is an excellent time to explore altered states of consciousness, especially out-of-body experiences such as astral travel. Whatever you feel like you're suffering through or simply enduring, be as loving, compassionate, and patient with yourself and others as you can be through the remainder of this cycle. And you'll soon face a test of your will, and as long as your will and purpose are aligned with spirits, you'll sail through it. How appropriate is that? Amazing. Dr. Stephen D. Farmer, Animal Spirit Guides. Awesome stuff. All right. So let's get to the topic du jour, shall we? Here's why this topic is so important to me. There are so many people dealing with loss. Pretty much every one of my clients that I'm working with right now is dealing with some form of loss. The death of loved ones, loss of relationship, loss of jobs, loss of homes, loss of health, etc. I mean, it's pretty huge right now, and it's definitely part and parcel of the astrological aspects that have been going on for the last number of years. And so this is a huge topic because, you know what? We're not taught in this culture to grieve. We really aren't. Some cultures have three-day celebrations where people do nothing but cry and dance and sing and, you know, mourn and do all these great, cool, expressive, emotional things. And here's what we do. We take a pill. We make a change. We distract ourselves. We, quote-unquote, get over it. We, quote-unquote, move on. Or at least we're told we should do those things. Great, for instance, I've been... I always follow the celebrity stuff because it's so fascinating to me. The whole Sandra Bullock, Jesse James thing. The unbelievable, the first article that I ever read back in January when she first found out about his indiscretions and everything just blew up. I mean, I can imagine the trauma that this woman is feeling over this. And that first article, it was either in People or Us or one of them. Her friends, a couple of her friends were quoted as saying, she's so over him now. And this was within weeks of finding out about him doing this. And so I just find that absolutely fascinating that the attitude is that she's completely over him and she's moved on with her life. And, you know, she's married to this dude for 5 years and he changed the face of love for her. She didn't believe in marriage until he came along. And so that's a pretty devastating, that is a pretty darn devastating experience, folks. And no way in the world is Sandra over him yet. So I'm sending angels to her because I'll tell you what, that's going to come out the back door if she's not careful. So I want to talk about a number of things. And I have a beautiful, beautiful poem to read that I found in a really cool book of mine that I will share with you a little bit later. I want to talk first about the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the model of the five stages of grief. She really sort of revolutionized the idea of the grieving process. And there is a now an enhanced or an expanded model of that, the five stages of grief. And I think it's really important to talk about because I think that people have a misunderstanding about grief. First of all, this idea, again, that you should just get over it. That there should be a period, there should be this sort of specific timeline that you're going to get over something. And I'll tell you what, grief is forever. It does change. It absolutely changes. And it becomes, at first, at least manageable. And then it becomes something that surprises you for a period of time. And then years and years and years later, it'll show up out of almost nowhere. My grandfather died when I was 13, and he was truly my favorite person in the entire world. And I'm coming on 50, and I still have moments where I see a picture of Grandpa or I think about him. He shows up energetically, and I lose it, big time lose it. So we never stop grieving. But there is a, at least there is a process that you can expect to a certain extent, and of course it's personal for everyone, but these stages of grief that have been recognized are shock, of course, that's the initial paralysis at hearing the news of something, denial, trying to avoid the inevitable, anger, bargaining, and that one's the seeking in vain for a way out of the situation, depression. You're going to hit some form of depression at some point in the grief process. The testing phase, where you're seeking sort of realistic solutions or realistic ways of handling the circumstances. And then acceptance, finally finding the way to move forward. Notice that's finding the way to move forward, not to move on or get over, but to move forward with the experience because it'll change you forever. And so a lot of people get trapped in this process, these different stages. First of all, I think there's an expectation that you're going to go through each one individually. Like you're going to be in shock, and then when you get to denial, and then you get to anger, and blah, 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 and you move on. And it's not how it works. You're going to bounce back and forth sometimes, several times during the day, you're going to bounce back and forth between those different things. Not to mention, I think you can be in various places in that process at any given time for several experiences in your life. So you may be in shock about something you just found out about. You may be angry about something else you've been dealing with, and you may be in a depression stage for something else. And you can be having all those experiences simultaneously. So one of the stages that I recognize that comes on so strongly and a lot of people stay in, at least the people that I work with, is the denial and the depression stage. And those are easy to get stuck in. Denial actually is a phenomenal power tool, and we've talked about that in other shows. You can use denial, if you're using it consciously, as a way to keep your mind out of the pain of a situation. Now, the challenge with that, though, is that the key to making it through the grieving process and making it through honestly, cleanly, and authentically and sacredly is to allow yourself to feel. You have to feel the pain. And that, I'll tell you what, kids, is the number one thing that we human beings seek to avoid pretty much at all cost, usually. And I find that not so fascinating because I've been in that place in my life before too, but I do find it compelling that even as we grow in consciousness as a species and we have all these tools and resources available to us spiritually and therapeutically and a lot of great, you know, support systems out there, we still will really run away from experiencing pain. And the grief process is, that's where God's the closest, I believe. Pure grief is an egoless state. You're on your knees and there's nothing you can do about it. And you are as vulnerable as you can possibly be in that place. And so God is the closest in grief if we allow ourselves to experience that truth and that pain. So those different stages, again, you're going to go through at varying degrees. You're going to bounce back and forth. And those can take a really, really long time. I think one of the most often heard statements or questions from clients that I've worked with has been, when am I going to get over this? You know, and I'll have somebody come to me who's suffered a tremendous loss just days or weeks prior to when I speak to them. And they're, when am I going to get over this? And so that's a tough one. And that's why your relationship with God is absolutely paramount. And we're going to be talking about that a lot more before the end of this show. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue to discuss this experience, this situation. I'm going to read you a great blessing that I found, and we're going to keep on keeping on. Give me a call if you want to talk, 877-230-3062. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer.
Your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
My life's so hard, and they wore everything they own, living in a car. But I just got in my Suburban and I drove away. I don't know why they say grown men don't cry.
Oh, Barbie. Had to get Tim McGraw in there for me. Thank you, darling. That's a beautiful song. I don't think I've ever heard that one. That's great. Very nice. The man's got an awesome voice. Welcome back. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. If you've got somebody that you know that might benefit from this show, you can email them the show. How cool is that? Or you can share it on your Facebook page if you have one of them. So the way to do that is to get onto my website, michellemorgan.org, and click on the archive link on the media page. It'll take you to a place called FeedBurner, and then you can choose all the different shows, the archived shows, and there's little descriptions of what they're about. And you can choose the ones that you think someone might need, and you can email them straight to that person. And then they can just click on the link that they get, and boom, they're right there. So pretty groovy, I'll tell you. I'm becoming a little less spastic when it comes to the cyber stuff. So I'm starting to appreciate the opportunities here with the whole computer thing. And speaking of archives, you know, if you've missed some of the shows, you can hop on that same link and listen to the shows whenever you get a chance. So let's get back to our topic. And then Amla's on the phone, so we're going to be chatting with her here shortly. Want to talk a little bit about, you know, so we've discussed the five stages, or actually the seven stages of grief, the expanded version. You know, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Well, you've heard me talk before. I'm going to talk again about belief systems. One of the most important things to do in the grieving process, number one, is let yourself have it. Give yourself permission to grieve. Most of us stand in the doorway of grief. It's this dark room, and it seems huge, or it seems super tiny, and we're going to get claustrophobic if we step into it. We're standing there with our fingernails in the door jam, and we fight it and fight it and fight it. And that's what prolongs it. That's what actually makes it last for a freakishly long time, because you're not actually experiencing it. You're resisting it. And it's interesting because resistance can mimic grief. Because in resistance, we have denial, we have shock, we have anger, we have depression, we have bargaining, we have all of those things as we stand there in that doorway. But the truth is, you have to step into that room. And again, God is in that darkness big time. He's waiting with arms wide open, and it's important to give yourself permission to go there. And another thing to do in that process is to take advantage of what's surfacing, because other things besides sorrow are going to appear in that grief process. Things like guilt, responsibility, all of those different things. Those issues, those other emotions were in you before that grief process showed up. The grief process just facilitated or surfaced those deeper things. And I think there's always, that's, you always hear me talk about the treasure in the darkness, and that's what I'm talking about. In those unbearable situations, there are phenomenal opportunities for healing and phenomenal opportunities for experiencing our own power, our own strength, and especially for experiencing our relationship with God. For instance, been dealing actually this last week. It was amazing. I had three clients in a row who were dealing with, the suicide of a loved one. It was astonishing. Just an extraordinary grief experience. Besides the shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, testing, acceptance issues, you've got guilt, you've got regret, abandonment, loneliness, all of those different things. People can just carry that for the rest of their lives, telling themselves there's something they should have done, there's something they could have done if they had only, you know, all of those types of things. And that, first of all, is impossible to reconcile. And second of all, it doesn't honor the loved one that passed away. Because in order to honor someone that's gone, we have to walk in the world as powerful as we can possibly be, especially when it's a situation where someone chooses to take their own life. I think it's doubly important that we're willing to heal the darkness in us, because that's the darkness that drove that person to make the decision that they made. Loss of a relationship, just loss of, you know, breakups, lots of breakups right now, huge issue around breakups in relationship. And that's the same thing. You're going to have that guilt stuff, the regret, the death of the dream. What you're really grieving is the loss of what should have been, what could have been, what you longed for, what you thought was there, but wasn't, beating yourself up because you should have known, all of those things. None of that is true in the grieving process. None of it's true grief. You have to grab on to what that's about for you and get help, both spiritually with God, and allow yourself to be guided to the human help and support that you need in order to heal those things. Loss of job or career, just a ton of people dealing with that. Oh my goodness. And there you're dealing with fear, like serious fear. We're talking survival fear. Sense of failure, loss of self-esteem or identity, especially for the masculine, big time for the masculine. And just, you know, again, those things are not truly part of the grieving process. They are what are going to be kicked up and surfaced as a result of being in grief. And you have to give yourself permission to truly grieve the loss of that job. It's a part of you. It's a part of who you were. It's how you walked in the world that deserves honoring. And you have to take a look at those issues that got surfaced as a result. Loss of home. A lot of people are losing their homes. Same issues. Fear, survival issues, failure, all of that stuff. Loss of money, same thing. Loss of valuables. People, I've oftentimes worked with people who've come to me and they've been like super embarrassed because they lost something, a piece of jewelry or something that meant something to them, and they feel embarrassed, like they should, quote unquote, get over it. And, you know, what's wrong with me that I'm so material or I'm so attached to material things? And that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with what that thing meant to you and how you saw yourself in the world as a result of that. And it can be something that seems to the outside world like a very small thing. But if we have an emotional attachment to something, to the human psyche, it's never small when we lose it. In fact, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talked about the fact that the human being can lose a $5 bill out of their pocket and they will go through the five stages of grief. They might not be aware of it at all, but you go through it when you let go. And that's the key to that. The grieving process is a letting go process. It's a release process. I've used this quote before, but I love this one. Anne Lamott, the writer, said, "Whatever I have let go of has claw marks in it." We don't let go of anything lightly, easily, especially not right now, when it seems like every morning we wake up and something else, we're losing something else, and it seems so out of our control. It's so scary. So the grieving process is a massive issue right now, and you have to be willing to take what you can out of it and utilize it, because, again, it's not happening for naught. It's not happening by coincidence, and it's not happening for only chaotic reasons. It's happening to surface in all of us the things that we need to let go of and find the willingness and the strength to become something better than we were before. And that's really the power in it. We're going to go to the phone lines here. Poor Barb. She's running around. You need some roller skates today, sugar. let's take Amla in Connecticut.
Hi.
Hi, baby girl. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I just, this is a fascinating topic. I really am fascinated by it because I'm not going necessarily through the grieving process myself, but people around me are.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. And so I'm just trying to be the helper.
You bet.
And the healer right now, kind of, sort of. And what I noticed, I guess, my question is around depression.
Mm-hmm.
I know I tend to do that, like, right, or go into severe depression, actually,
right,
when I'm grieving over somebody or some kind of loss. And I guess my question is, how do we separate ourselves? I mean, I understand that we're going through it,
mm-hmm,
but how do we detach from it in order to survive day to day?
And therein lies the rub, darling girl. And what a great question. And God love you for calling. Also, I do want to address the whole aspect of, you know, how do you show up for somebody who is in the grief process? How do you,
right,
support them? That's a great, great topic. And I'm so glad you called. So let me answer that first one. How do you detach? You don't. You absolutely do not. Detachment's the problem.
Okay.
Because, again, in detachment is the resistance. That's where you're fighting going into the feeling.
Right.
The fear of depression is far greater than depression itself. And I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody on that one. And here's the thing. I am not suggesting that depression is an easy thing. I've been there too, kiddo. Been in the life-threatening depression place. Absolutely. So I,
right,
know what that's like. And,
right,
I also know that when you give yourself permission to feel what you're feeling and at the same time be willing to take a look at what created that, that's the key to this. That is absolutely the key to this, is to reach out and get the guidance first, and that's the God piece.
Okay.
So the bottom line answer to your brilliant question, how do we survive the grieving process? God.
Yeah.
God is the answer, period.
Okay.
You have to believe in somebody bigger than you who can pick you up by your bootstraps and help you be in that. And I've got a great, what I think is a phenomenal analogy, and I've used this before, I believe, but we're going to use it again.
Okay.
Because this is a great story to illustrate how God operates. I think one of the other challenges that people have in the grieving process in particular is that they start praying very desperately that God takes away their pain.
Right.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes he absolutely does. Sometimes we'll have these extraordinary pockets of almost weird euphoria that will come in the grieving process. And that is absolutely God giving us a break. It's kind of like, you know, being in labor for 9 hours and then you get the spinal tap thing and you don't feel anything. And it's like the most amazing, the most amazing relief.
Right.
So you're going to have those moments, but people have this idea that if you pray that God's going to take away the pain, but you're not going to grow unless you hurt. You're not
right.
going to heal unless you're willing to go into that darkness and find out what it's made of. And here's the story that I illustrate with this, the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the story that most people know of that is that that was the point where Jesus was the most human and the most terrified of what he knew was coming. And he was praying and praying and praying, and he asked God to take it away from him. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. And he literally fell to the ground. The story goes he fell to the ground and he actually sweated blood.
And
wow. He gave up. He absolutely in that moment gave up. Well, so the story goes there was an angel. God sent a specific angel that has never been on the planet before and not since that lifted Jesus to his knees so he could continue to pray. Didn't take away what was coming for him. Didn't take
right.
away the pain, but lifted him to his knees so he could continue to pray. I'm going to put a little spin on that story because here's my take on it. I don't think Jesus was on his knees that night. I think he was pacing that garden, and I think he was yelling at God. I think he was shaking his fists, and I think he was walking, trying to stay as powerful as he could. And when he fell to the ground, the angel lifted him right back up to his feet so he could keep on going. And that's
oh, wow.
what it takes sometimes. It takes that kind of willingness to be in the experience, not to run away from it,
right.
but to be in the experience and to know that God is going to give you the strength.
Right.
And that's what it takes to be in that place of quote unquote detachment, which again is kind of a false idea. But what you're going for there is how do you stay in that experience and truly
right.
continue to breathe?
Exactly. And
yeah.
I think part of my part two question is like I'm not going through it right now, but I am very empathic, and my body suffers
yeah.
because of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's another thing. It's so hard to, and I pick up on everything, and I try to I'm not even trying. I'm
no.
feeling it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah
and
absolutely.
So there's a huge issue
yeah.
that I personally have
yeah.
is to
yeah.
not have my body go
yes.
through so much, you know, and it takes on so much trauma.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So here's what I would tell you about that, kiddo. For you and for anybody else that has that experience, and I guarantee there's a bunch of people listening right now that have that same experience.
Yeah.
There is a belief system at work. Okay, that's causing your body to manifest so distinctly. So that can be worked on. That needs to be looked at eventually at some point because that's not going to do you any good ultimately.
Right.
And in the meantime, I would absolutely tell you to get angels involved in this. You can literally visualize that you're surrounded by angels and that they become this filter. They become this living, breathing filter between you and the energy of these other people so that you can still feel what's happening for that person on an empathic level from an emotional perspective, but you don't have to pull it into your physical body. That's
right.
where it gets the most challenging is when you're actually physically hit with it. So get the angels as your buffer. Okay. And then anything that you are carrying that that slipped through the cracks, if you will,
right.
then find a good energy worker and have them clear that out or do some energy work on yourself and literally flush that out. And at the end of the day, turn it over to God. Ask God to relieve it, to pull it out of your body. Because the thing is,
yes.
That's like an excess piece of information. You're already empathic. You know what I'm saying? Your body doesn't need to knock you over the head with the information. And that's where the belief system thing comes into play, because a lot of people have belief systems in place where their bodies become their worst enemies. Their bodies become the thing that holds them back from who they really are, because they'll, just when they'll step out in the world, or just when they'll make a decision that they're going to try something or take a risk, their bodies will break down. They'll get sick, or they'll get, you know, some sort of symptom going
on. Exactly.
And then of course you're going to focus on that immediately. You know, that's the phenomenon of hitting bottom for an addict. 99.9% of the time requires a physical manifestation of some sort, where they actually get into an accident, or they fall, or they get arrested, or they do something, happens on the physical level.
Right.
Because that's the kind of final frontier for the human psyche. We can ignore everything except when it hits our bodies. And even then, some people still continue to ignore it. But the bottom line is, you can't ultimately ignore what's going on in your body.
Right.
So know that that doesn't have to be the loud screaming signal. That can be just a message from your body, but it can be toned down big time by shifting that belief system and then working with the angelic realm to filter that.
And just talking to God and
Amen.
Asking him for help.
Yeah, absolutely. You bet. And one final thing for you, kiddo, is as that support system for other people, the single most powerful thing you can do is pray for them. Is just, you know, pull that energy out as big as you possibly can, and, you know, affirm that divine love is doing its perfect work in that person, and that God has got them lovingly in his hands. And that's going to be the number one most powerful thing you can do for somebody in the grieving process. And then, you know, give them permission to grieve. Let them know it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think added to that is that when, you know, It's the other. What I'm learning is that it's also the other person's journey itself. I do that. I say, you know, be in it, be, you know, feel it.
Absolutely.
But it's also their choice whether to do that or not.
It's 100%. You're right on the money there. And the best thing that you can do is to help support someone in the truth of their path. And if the truth of their path is to stay in denial for the rest of their lives, well, then that's part of the process. And then what you can do, again, is pray for them to get the guidance that they need to break out of that denial. But, you know, trying to get somebody to break out of denial is a whole other kettle of fish. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's another story. It's another day.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much.
Oh,
I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Good to talk to you, sweetie.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Yep. Bye.
Good stuff. So I think we're going to take a really quick other break. And when we come back, we'll continue with this. And I've got Susan on the line. Stick around. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer.
When you stopped to say hello, and though you wished me well, you couldn't tell that I'd been
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Dissatisfied? satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Back. This is Michelle Morgan, Living on a Prayer. This is a powerful topic, everybody. It really is. So I want to read this blessing that I found in a book called To Bless the Space Between Us by John O'Donohue. And it's an extraordinary poem about the loss of a loved one. When you lose someone you love, your life becomes strange. The ground beneath you gets fragile. Your thoughts make your eyes unsure. And some dead echo drags your voice down where words have no confidence. Your heart has grown heavy with loss, and though this loss has wounded others too, no one knows what has been taken from you when the silence of absence deepens. Flickers of guilt kindle regret for all that was left unsaid or undone. There are days when you wake up happy, again inside the fullness of life, until the moment breaks and you are thrown back onto the black tide of loss. Days when you have your heart back, you are able to function well, until in the middle of work or encounter, suddenly with no warning, you are ambushed by grief. It becomes hard to trust yourself. All that you can depend on now is that sorrow will remain faithful to itself. More than you, it knows its way and will find the right time to pull and pull the rope of grief until that coiled hill of tears has reduced to its last drop. Gradually, you will learn acquaintance with the invisible form of your departed, and when the work of grief is done, the wound of loss will heal, and you will have learned to wean your eyes from that gap in the air and be able to enter the hearth in your soul where your loved one has awaited your return all the time. I'd like to go to the phone lines. That's Susan in Texas.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Right, I had talked to you, it's been probably a couple of months ago, it was about a relationship with a guy named Pat.
Okay.
And just wanted to see just kind of what you, or get a reading on it. And at the time you told me, you know, to be fully present in it, mm-hmm. which I've been trying to be.
Okay.
And seems like it's good, but I just still, you know, sometimes I'm depressed and I don't know why.
Okay. So you're depressed about the relationship?
Well, I don't know. It's like an anxiety type thing that I get sometimes surrounding a relationship and
okay.
with a little bit of, I don't know if I just suffer from depression anyway. I think I probably do just in general.
Okay.
So,
So this is interesting. Tell me what you are astrologically.
I'm a Pisces.
Okay. So on the topic of the show today, the grief process, it's interesting to me that I'm not kidding you either. The first couple cards that come up here have to do with old grief, have to do with
mm-hmm.
suppressed grief. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have?
Well, there probably is quite a bit of that just from various things that have happened in the past.
Okay. Okay. So in the context, again, of what we're talking about, this is really timely. One of the things that I wanted to say about the grieving process is just that. If you don't allow yourself the process, if you resist it and you fight it and you distract yourself from it or whatever, and you quote unquote move on like most people do, it will absolutely build up. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't just, you know, filter out of us into the ethers. It stays trapped in the body. And it stays trapped in the psyche, and it absolutely supports belief systems that we carry, and then it will absolutely be surfaced. It will come out the back door at some point. And so what you're experiencing, the anxiety, I'll guarantee you, is because you've had your heart broken in the past. Is that a fair statement?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm 45, and it's probably happened a few times, but
okay.
I think most people can probably go there. for sure.
Well, absolutely.
But definitely.
But it's interesting to even hear you talk about it. There's sort of a dismissive nature about, mm-hmm. you know, well, everybody's gone through this, so I should get over it. Is that kind
of... And I have done a lot of, you know, what I think is healing work and trying to release a lot of it, which I thought I had.
Okay.
But maybe not, because I think you're right. The anxiety that I have about this relationship comes from, I think, some past things with other relationships.
Absolutely. And again, it goes deeper to a belief system in you that basically what I'm looking at says that, you know, nothing works out for you, that no matter what you create or no matter what you get, you're going to lose it. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay.
Yes.
So that right there, kiddo, you're destined to lose this relationship. And I don't like to even talk that black and white, except that that's how belief systems operate.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got an idea in you that you're destined to lose this, you are already in the grieving process. That anxiety stuff, that's part of that anger, denial, depression period that we go through in the grief process. And the depression stuff, you're actually already grieving the loss, the potential loss of this relationship in advance.
That makes sense.
So yeah, wow, babe. And so
let me ask you though, do you see, as far as he and I go, because I mean, I've even kind of wondered, is it really the relationship? I mean, are we good for each other even long term?
Well, let me answer that very specifically here. While you have this idea in you, nobody's going to be a good match for you, because you're drawing to you men who will absolutely live out this belief system. Okay.
Right.
Who will
right.
walk away from you, who will betray you, who will hurt you in some way, shape or form, because that's the reality that you've manifested, because that's how you see yourself in the world. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
So I'm not kidding you. And I'm not trying to be difficult here. I mean, when people call a psychic, they want answers. They want the prediction stuff, and I'm good at it. But it's not going to serve you if we look at the potential of this relationship outside of the context of the belief system, because potential is just that, but destiny is another story. And right now, given the belief system, you're destined to have this thing end in the exact same way these others have, only it'll be louder this time, because that's what happens every time we don't get it. Every lesson we avoid or distract ourselves from comes back around again a little bit louder. And so here's the good news, kiddo. Here's that treasure in the darkness thing. Okay. You have done healing work on this. That's fantastic. And so you've got a foundation already started to go to this deeper level of healing, okay? To go to the deeper place of shifting these belief systems that are standing in your way. And this relationship is an opportunity to do that, because it's triggering that stuff. And here's the thing. You got a lot clearer in the last year or so about what you wanted in a relationship. Is that fair?
It is. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So here's the blessing and the curse in that. Okay. The blessing is you got clearer. The blessing is you're closer to drawing that truth into your life. The curse is you're going to really be asked to take a look at what's in the way of you having what you're clear about. Does that make sense? There's no wiggle room now. There's absolutely no, and there's no wiggle room on the planet as far as I'm concerned. That's why the world looks the way it does, because nothing that's coming from a place of shadow is going to survive the next period of time, because it's all getting shaken to the surface. So you get a chance to go deeper, and I highly recommend that you do, because it feels to me like you've pretty much earned the right to have true love. You really have. You've earned it.
I have. And I feel like with him, it can be that. But I guess I just kind of wonder sometimes, you know, like just if we're even a good... I mean, I know everything happens for a reason and that right now it is the right relationship.
It's the right relationship to learn a whole ton of stuff. If you learn what you need to learn and you take responsibility for what we're talking about here, it could potentially morph into the right thing. I mean, you guys are definitely, you got a lot of good reasons to be together that go beyond just learning lessons. I promise you that. But I will tell you also, looking at his energy, he's got some similar issues. He feels to me like somebody who always has a foot out the back door. And when it starts to get a little sticky, he's going to take off. Does that make any sense to you?
I don't really know that I see him that way. Okay. I mean, I know that he's had some difficulty in the past and has had his heart broken also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he feels...
He's kind of talked about it.
Yeah.
But,
there's some skittishness that I'm picking up on in him. What is he astrologically?
He's a Taurus.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because Taurians mm-hmm. have a tendency to be definitely more loyal and stick around. But here's what it could potentially look like with him. That taking off might not be him actually leaving the relationship, but just shutting down and being mm-hmm. really, really self-protective.
Mm-hmm.
And does he have alcohol issue?
Well, yeah, and he parties a lot, and that's one of the things that I'm kind of concerned about because
yeah.
I mean, I've gotten to the age where I cannot party
yeah. well,
every night.
Yeah, I would be
and function the next day.
Yeah, I would be concerned about that too because that whole partying thing is one of his ways of escaping and
right. And he does have
away.
some addiction problems,
yeah.
and he's talked
yeah.
about that too. But
okay.
I guess that's just one thing. I'm like, I don't really know if I can even continue the partying long term.
I would
my
hope
body
not.
Just cannot handle it.
Yeah, well,
but at the same time, he though is one though that wants me to move in with him, but pushing for us to take it to the next level.
Okay. Well, then I would tell
you. I wonder if
you. Yeah. I would tell you not to do that. I would tell you not to do that. If you want to stay in this relationship and see where it goes, then you need to be willing to do your work first and foremost. You are 100% responsible for your 50% of this equation.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on what you need to heal in you that drew an addict to you in the first place. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. you have to make sure that you're observing him in all honesty, and he's going to have to be willing to heal his issues, or it's
mm-hmm.
going to be a disaster of potential biblical proportion for you at some point, because this
mm-hmm.
is your belief system. You're setting yourself
mm-hmm.
up, kiddo. You're setting
right.
yourself up to get your heart broken again. And,
well, and I think the reason I do that is because I see kind of like the red flags. I mean, he and I connect on a spiritual level because he's a healer also. We connect on a spiritual level and a love level and divine, but at the same time, the partying and little things like that, I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't know.
So healer, heal thyself is the answer there. You know,
yeah.
if he's a healer, then he needs to be walking his talk big time, and because
well,
that's going to blow up in his face in a huge
right, right.
way.
Right, and he knows that he has, I mean, he's been in rehab before, so.
Okay. How many times has he been in rehab, do you know?
Well, only once that I know that he's mentioned.
Okay. Well, here's the thing about recovery. Recovery requires mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. Rehab is just a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the event that he's not doing those things, that's really important information for you to have, honey. You know,
okay.
and the thing is, there's going to be, you know, all sorts of, we never connect to someone for no reason. I mean,
well, exactly.
we don't just draw
I
people
know.
Into our lives
exactly.
for the garbage. We draw them into our lives because of good things too. But
mm-hmm.
if somebody, at the end of the day, especially he's the masculine, he's not willing to man up and step up
mm-hmm.
to this stuff and clean himself up. He,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to be able to be there for you. Not
right.
ultimately. And
yeah,
so,
and that may be why, because I thought, well, maybe I'm experiencing the anxiety and maybe the little bit of depression that goes with it, like you were saying, because
yeah.
I am thinking I'm mourning it already because
yes, ma'am.
Of the red flag
yes,
of
ma'am.
The partying.
That would
and
be
kind of like I can kind of already project
yeah.
it into the future.
Yeah, that's a good.
Which I know I shouldn't be.
Well,
but,
well, in this case, there are times when that is appropriate. Okay, you need to project into the future the authentic truth of the present, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
be willing to do the work required and say the prayers required to allow the other person to heal as well as you. But I would tell you, promise me you will not call me back in a month or two and have moved in with this dude, or I am going to have a serious problem
okay.
with that.
Well,
serious problem.
It may not be quite that.
I will go into the grieving process if I hear from you in a month
okay.
or two you've moved in
but
with
I mean
this dude, so.
You know, as far as everything else goes, I mean, do you feel that he does, it's not like he's a player or anything like that.
Well, so that doesn't matter. He's playing another game, so that the bottom line is, it's, you know, just take a look at the truth of this and you do the work to heal your stuff and ask God for guidance on this. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Girl, you take care of yourself.
Appreciate it. All right.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling, baby.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Powerful, powerful stuff. Belief systems always at work. So the grieving process requires prayer, first and foremost, permission to experience it, and a willingness to take a look at everything that's surfacing so that you can heal and come out the other side and honor the person or the situation that has passed. That's absolutely what it's about. It's all about honoring. So Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been awesome. Go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com. On the right side, you can click on iTunes to subscribe. That gives us a great idea who all is listening. And again, check out the archives or send me an email if there's anything you'd like me to cover on this show. Barb, you're an angel. Thank you again, darling girl. And one last little prayer for you all. I have faith that this too shall pass. If you're going through grief, if you're being a penguin right now, you know you can get through it. This too shall pass. Hang in there, everybody. Next week, it's going to be an archived show because I'm on vacation. And then the following week, I'm coming back in for a psychic free-for-all. So I will see you all in a couple of weeks. Take good care. Thanks, everybody. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.